Well, every time Stuart tells me something, I sit back and go, oh my, this is incredible information. Some of it far-fetched. But I'm telling you, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Makes you ponder. Back in a moment with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Stuart Swerdlow is our guest, and your phone calls as well. Is everybody under this mind control attack, Stuart? Are we all the potential targets?
At this point, 100% of the Earth is targeted, and everyone has some form of mind control within their brains. But there's about 5% of the population that has specific programming, which means they have very deep functions. And we see this sometimes in people who are shooters, vigilante programming, stalkers. There's many different types of programs out there.
Some could be pure evil, though, Stuart. Some of these people could be committing these crimes of horror on their own, don't you think?
Well, that is also true. But if you notice, in this last 50 years, there's been a very high percentage of these kinds of crimes out there, especially ritualistic murders, serial killers. And this is a side effect, or actually a direct cause by the mind control and programming.
To the phones we go, east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Josh from Columbus, Ohio. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Josh. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I had a question for Stuart. I'm a very religious, spiritual person, and I actually happen to sort of agree with what you're saying. I actually believe that Yahweh or Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I actually think this might be the God of the humans, the Atlanteans. And what you're saying about the reptilians, it just speaks to me, because what do we hear about Satan? The first thing, what is he? He's the snake, the reptilian in the Garden of Eden, the beast at the end of times in the Book of Revelation is the dragon. So I'm very curious to see whether you believe that maybe there is some sort of connection between, you know, Judeo-Christian beliefs in the creator God, who would maybe our God, the human God, versus the reptilian God, who may be Satan. And I'll take the answer off air. Thank you.
Okay, Josh, go ahead. You can elaborate, Stuart.
Thank you. Well, let me just start out by saying there's only one God. There's not God of humans and God of reptilians. There's only one God, or I call God mind, that creates all of existence. What we see in the Bible, as far as the gods of the ancient Hebrews, they were alien beings. They were beings who directed humanity in a certain direction. They also genetically manipulated. They talk about taking the daughters of the sons of man as wives, etc. This is a hybridization program that we're seeing here. And the God mentioned in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is none other than alien beings. Even the story of leading the Hebrews out of Egypt across the desert, following the pillars of light, these are what we would call UFOs in present terms. As far as the reptilians are concerned, they worship what, from a religious perspective, would be called demonic entities. But from my perspective, I call it entities from lower astral layers of existence. These are non-physical beings who manipulate society and people from the astral planes, and there is such a thing as connecting to the mind, what is called possession, and the reptilians worship them. Ultimately, if we go back far enough, there is only one God mind, there's only one creator, and even in the Bible it says that Satan only has the power that God gives him or it. So I don't know if I've actually answered the question, but this is my perspective on the God situation.
Off to our first-time caller line. Hello there. You're with us. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Peter from Long Beach. My question to you is, if, you know, there is still a God and things like that, what happens when we die? What happens with the reptilians when they die? Do we still go to the same place, or do we go to a different place? And I also want to talk about a little bit about, like, resurrection, such as, like, or a person who is faking their death and coming back, such as like Machiavelli. And the last thing I want to ask is, what about homosexuality? How does that seem to exist into our being if we are basically hybrid?
All right, well, let's take the first two, because that's a topic. The second, last topic is not what Coast to Coast is all about. I don't get into those kind of issues, Stuart. So okay. If you'd address the first couple things that he so eloquently passed on, go ahead.
Okay, well, when a person passes on, what they initially experience is based on what their mind pattern is projecting, so that if you think when you die you're going to see Jesus, that's what you're going to see. Your mind will project into the astral layers that you go into whatever it is that you perceive. Ultimately, we all go into an area of what I call oversoul or hyperspace level, where your higher intelligence directs and reviews the lifetime that you've just experienced and then determines where it is that you need to go next, whether it's on the earth or somewhere else. Reptilians, as far, they also have soul personalities, except that they're more species mind related. In other words, instead of being so much as an individual, they're more like a group mind or a hive mind, which is what they're trying to create in humanity through programming. So ultimately, we all experience what we think we're going to experience initially, and then as we become more aware of what and who we really are, we go into other dimensions and existences to help us progress in our path back towards the God mind. So it would be different initially for each individual, but ultimately we all go back to source or God mind.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on with Stuart Swidlow on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is David here in San Diego.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to let you, I got the Lemurian Fellowship booklet in front of me here, and I've actually been to their compound and I've done some work for them. And the creepiest thing is that they're all gray-haired old people, and they're really small, and none of them would talk to me except for the main guy, and the rest of them just stood around with their hands clasped in front of them, smiling like beatifically at me, you know. And I tried to talk to them, and they refused to talk to me. They would just smile. And also on the back of their book, the one thing they say that their order is for is to the formation of an ideal society and long-term efforts to for their plan, the great work, and to build for quality for citizenship in the new coming order, the coming new order. And that is really creepy. And the Atlantis is their second coming of the is the second civilization. The first one was the continent of Mu in the Pacific Ocean. And I just wanted to let you guys know that. I didn't hear it say it.
Okay. Stuart, you want to comment on that? And then I have a question about Atlantis for you.
Yeah, well, to me, what this gentleman in San Diego just mentioned sounds like it might be some kind of a cult, although I do agree with Lemurian coming first and then the Atlantean civilization existing. I've never heard of this group particularly before, but it could very well be a group that's a form of mind control programming. There's all kinds of programming out there, as we saw with the group that committed suicide when Hal Bopp came by. So there's many different subgroups out there, and what I would call a cult.
Would you get chipped, Stuart, if they asked you to? A microchip?
Well, unfortunately, I already have some of these chips in me that have been x-rayed, actually.
What?
Yeah, in fact, all people who were in Montauk Project and anyone who claims to be abducted for whatever reason, many of these people do have chips in them. I will say that the microchips are kind of an obsolete technology now, because the way the satellite technology is and computer technology, they don't even have to chip you anymore. They can tune in directly to your brain frequency and direct you in whatever way they wish.
They don't have to microchip. The microchip you can consider as a backup system, but they no longer need that.
Okay, let's pick it up, and we'll go to our next wild card line. It's your turn. You're on with Stuart. Hi there.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
Hi.
Great, as it is me. George, you know, you really do have to get that to where they have the different wild card lines so that when you go to a caller, they know they're on the air.
Yeah, it is true. Every time I go to a wild card line, you all think it's you, don't you?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you start talking. It's great. Stuart,
we got to figure out how that is. Maybe... I tell you what, I'll talk with Tom about it. I know how we can fix it. Go ahead. Thanks.
You've got it. Hey, Stuart, first of all, this is Chad in Seattle, Washington.
Hello.
With Inner Circle Publishing. And I tell you what, you've did your homework. You know more than you're allowed to say, and yet you're saying it anyway, and I appreciate that. First of all, have you seen them yourself?
The reptilians?
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen them, and I've also have seen someone shapeshift directly in front of me.
Okay, so you've direct contact. Do you know about the domes, the deep underground military bases? We've got about 180 of them in the U.S.
Yes, this is known, and there's many more around the world and even under the ocean.
Yeah, even connecting. Yeah, interesting. Do you know where 91% of the missing children in this country end up?
Well, many of them end up in ritual sacrifice, unfortunately.
Underneath Denver Airport. Absolutely. Well, like I said, you've done your homework, and it's just great to hear you on the air. I've never heard of you before, but Coast to Coast is great for bringing new information to people.
He is a first-time guest, but you know what, Stuart? I don't think you're going to be a last-time guest. I have a feeling you're going to come back.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's a fascinating program. Look, I owe you, too. You tell me about your books and where you can get them.
Yes, my books are available at my website at expansions.com. And you can also call 269-429-8615 to order any books or consultations or DVDs. I do have DVDs on all of this information that we've talked about tonight and much more.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Stuart. How you guys doing?
Hi, fine.
Good. This is John from Newark, Delaware. You talked earlier about that all of us humans here on this planet have 10 to 15% DNA, reptilian DNA?
Yes, on an average.
How did you get DNA since you have to have a reptilian and have to have their DNA to compare it to? How did you get it?
Well, if you listened about how all human beings have reptilian DNA from the hybridization program in ancient times.
Well, how did they get it is what I'm saying. You have to have a piece of their skin or saliva or something to get the DNA to compare it to.
Oh, I see what you're saying, like a sample of the reptilian. Yes, well, you know, the reptilians have been interacting with the government for many, many decades. And so, yes, there is availability for getting that kind of DNA. There was even reptilians at the Dulce base at the Four Corners area in New Mexico, which, as you know, there was an event there that the aliens took back that base on their own. There's many, many stories of battles that have occurred throughout the Earth where reptilians have been killed and their DNA has been taken.
Well, how come the whole world doesn't know this? Do you actually believe that you get DNA from reptilians?
I know that they have.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's great entertainment for the show, but personally, I think you're a complete whack.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, and I think that people who don't accept this are really in for a ride on themselves.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stuart, you know, the important thing of the information you're bringing out is that you at least make people think.
Well, you know, George, I think that some of the material that people don't want to accept, they have fear issues. So they attack the messenger, and that makes them feel comfortable.
Right. I don't have any problems with people not believing what you're saying or they don't accept what you're saying. That, you know, the strength of this program is to take what our guest says without major conflict in the comment, and just make up our own minds. I could sit back here and jump up and down or not, and I don't want to do that. I'd much rather people make up their own minds and decide if what they think they hear is correct or not.
Well, I agree with that.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, my name's Zach. I just wanted to say, hey, I'm so glad you came on. I've been waiting for such a long time just to hear this kind of topic on your show about mind control. I wanted to get into a couple things specifically. I've been trying to find out as much info as I could on trauma-based mind control. Do they even do that so much anymore now that they have, other types of things like microwave, antennas and everything like that? And have you ever seen any of those trauma-based mind control rituals, or what do you know about that?
Yes, in fact, I have an entire DVD on that topic. True that they no longer need to take an individual in a so-called programming session to traumatize them, although that does occur from time to time still. They are able now with the new technology to directly transmit programming information into a human brain. And that is done, again, as I mentioned, from satellite transmission, cell tower transmission. And there's even ways of doing it through television, radio, and even through the wiring in your home, where they can transmit certain frequencies that download into the brain. The biggest download basically occurs overnight when people are sleeping, because that's the easiest time. There's no resistance. I have seen these trauma-based incidences. I've unfortunately had them happen to me during the Montauk Project. So, these things do occur. And you're correct that the new technology now can circumvent most of the physical need for programming sessions.
Let's go next to, we're not going to have time. Let me ask you this, though. You seem to have hope that we're going to win this. Is that true?
I think we have to. There's no question in my mind that we have to overcome this. And no one remains ignorant forever. Ultimately, people will say they've just had enough. And again, they can't have the God mind within you. They can only make you think that you're not connected to God mind, but it is always there. And in my work, I help people to connect that, to realize that, and to utilize that.
All right. Sounds like you have call waiting, by the way. Did you have another call coming in?
I wasn't paying attention to it.
I heard you drop out for just a little bit. No, you cannot take the other call, Stuart. You're going to stay with me. I know that. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to take more phone calls. Stuart, do you get support when you talk about this topic, or do people kind of shun you?
I'm getting mostly support. Of course, there's always people out there who don't want to hear this or to accept it. And again, I agree, it's their prerogative. And I don't force anyone to believe it. I state what I know, and you can accept or reject it. However, rejecting it doesn't change what I know or what I experienced. But for the most part, I have these days a lot of acceptance and support in this work.
Well, good for you. All right. Well, stick with us. We'll be back in a moment. Very quick night. We'll take your final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Well, our next Coast to Coast program, you're going to love this one, too. A series of special guests. Jerry Vaney, he'll be joining Steve Bassett, Bud Hotbins, talking about the latest in alien abduction research and UFO disclosure. So a classic Coast to Coast program right around the corner. Back with final calls at Coast to Coast AM. Under some of these mind control programs, can somebody be deprogrammed?
Absolutely.
Well, that's one good thing. Do you have to do it through a specialist or what?
Well, you have to know the techniques to download the programming and undo it. And I have an entire series of visualizations and exercises that I teach people and coach them through in order to do this. And it is a long process. It's not going to happen in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. It takes years and years. In fact, I have been deprogramming since 1990, and I still have a bit to go as well. So no one should expect to have it done quickly. I feel that it can be done and it can be accomplished ultimately completely, but you need to be patient and consistent and persistent.
Let's go back to final calls. West of the Rockies, where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, this is Cindy calling from Cedar City, Utah.
Hi, Cindy.
And my question is, what are crop circles? And I'll take my answer off the air.
A story, you haven't brought up crop circles. Do you want to talk about that? If
sure.
not, I'll go ahead.
Sure, no problem.
Take it away.
You know, jokingly, I call them crap circles. And that is because they're not what people think they are. I happen to have known the person at Brookhaven National Labs who said that he helped create them. What they basically are energetic injections into the morphogenetic grid of the Earth to change life forms on the surface and even below. So what you're seeing are archetype symbols, what I call language of hyperspace that I teach, which are being put in a sentence form to get a certain result, so that if they want to change the genetics of a certain species or a group of or change something in an area, they will create these crop circles that go into the genetic grid there and then alter everything in the area. They're not from Space Brothers.
Okay, and also, you know, go to earthfiles.com if you also want to get another explanation on crop formations from Linda Moulton Howe. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on with Stuart Swerdlow. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, take it away.
Hey, this is Casey. I was going to say, first of all, hello, George.
Hi, Casey.
And, I have two quick questions for Stuart. The first being, I guess, open to either one of you, is the reptilians that you guys are speaking of, is this similar to the reptoids that have been spoken of in the past on this program?
And, yep.
Number two question also, Stuart was claiming, he was talking about certain members of Congress, or I should say political members, having lesions taken off of them, being, I guess, remnants of leftover reptilian skin. Is he claiming, or I'm sorry, Stuart, could you claim that anyone, could you name a name, I'm saying, in the United States, political member? I guess that's kind of a not very clear question.
Well, I'll just tell you, for example, Vice President Cheney had this done, and so did President Bush.
That's exactly who I, what came to mind.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the first question, I honestly don't know about what was discussed on this program previously about reptoids, but I would imagine they're similar or the same.
Very similar.
Okay. Well, that'll be all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Case. Thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's see. Well, my machines are jammed up here, Stuart. So let's go to our pick a card here, Stevie, until I get my computer back up. East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi, this is Steve from Springfield, Mass.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. And I have a question for the guest, and I'm not trying to attack the messenger. I keep my mind very open to all these subjects, but also I'm not the kind of person that buys the Brooklyn Bridge for $1 right away either. And I'd like to know how he explains the hard evidence that we have about history, like the geological layers, the KT boundary all over the Earth, above which there's no dinosaur fossils found, which is 65 million years old. And you know, it's a fascinating thing that he's talking about, but I'm just thinking about all this different knowledge that I have, some of which would require the cooperation of all kinds of geologists and scientists, mm-hmm. and paleontologists. And we're talking about a government whose secret agency can't even keep top secret anti-terrorist programs out of the New York Times. I'm wondering about these things.
All right, yes, that's a good question. Go ahead, Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, history, science, all of the publicly released information on those topics are basically sanctioned by the government. And in fact, history is written by the victors, as they say, and it's been rewritten many times. And, you know, I had a client, an elderly man from Tennessee, who remembered years ago in the 1920s when he was in public school reading from his school book about Admiral Byrd's trip to the North Pole, where he found an entrance to the inner Earth and the tropical plants and animals that existed there. And then he said one day that there were people from Washington that came to the school and took all the books away and replaced them with different books that didn't have that information in it anymore. So as we go through time and as certain control systems are in place, different information is released to the public. There is also, there was something called Education 2000. That was a global education system where everyone in every country had to learn the same history, the same science, no matter where they lived. So there's a globalization of information, and the information has to be approved by the global government. So basically what I'm saying is that science information, history information is written so that you understand things in a certain way, and very often it obliterates or covers up the truth.
Anne from California says, this program makes a lot of sense. Please ask Stuart why we seem to be acting like zombies all the time. Now, she's right about that. People seem brain dead.
I've been saying that a very long time. And, you know, again, it goes what I mentioned about creating a robotical society where everyone just performs their function without question. And not only that, they want everyone to be on some kind of a pill, some medication that alters the way you think, alters the brain waves. And they enhance this with ELF that they bombard the Earth with to make people go along with whatever it is that's happening on the planet at the moment. So, yes, people are zombies. They're becoming zombies, and I'm hoping to wake them up from their slumber.
You're going to love this one. Please, George, no name, no city, no state. So I'm not going to. George, are you sitting down for this, Stuart, or are you standing?
I'm sitting.
All right. My niece is a Rothschild and was born with webbed feet. My spouse's sibling married into the family and explained that it wasn't a big deal, an anomaly that happens to the family once in a while, but I've always wondered. What do you think of that?
Well, it makes perfect sense to me.
There you go. Maybe proof, huh?
Yes.
That's it. That is weird. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on with Stuart on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Greg Ryan. I've been a long-time listener, about 10 years.
Well, no, thank you, Greg.
Oh, sure. I was wondering how angels would play into all this.
Yes. I actually write about this in my Healer's Handbook. And then I call it an angelic hierarchy, which is part of our energetic structure. So that within our totality, as a soul personality and as an oversoul, there are what I call angelic levels, which is really an energetic level, which is on the higher path towards the God mind. So within each of us is this ability to be angelic-like, and we can tap into that. And I actually teach exercises, visualizations, where we can tune in to the frequencies of the angelic hierarchy within each of us.
Yes, I see. So I had an NDE, near-death experience, and it changed my life. I believe I went before the God light, the God force, and it just it was incredible. And I was told that love, we were here to learn to love, you know, love is the answer, basically.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yes, unconditional love and acceptance is absolutely paramount to everything that exists.
You've heard about Mothman, right? The Mothman story?
Yes.
Might that have been a reptilian?
No, that was actually a genetic hybrid program that escaped from a base underneath West Virginia.
Oh, you got to tell me about that.
Well, the government for many years has been creating what is called chimeras, which are mixtures of species. They take genetics of one species, mix it with another. They do this in many locations, one of which was under a base in West Virginia. They also do it in Plum Island, which is off the coast of Montauk and Long Island.
Right.
And they have been doing it in various locations in the western United States as well. And so, yes, the Mothman was nothing more than one of these creatures that escaped from one of the holding pens.
That's an incredible story. So where is Mothman now?
Well, these creatures exist in these places under the earth. They could be anywhere where they're holding these chimeras or experimenting with them. We're now seeing on the conventional media stories where they're actually telling you about what they create, the mice with human ears, cows with human genetics. They're telling
the cat and rabbit chimera. Yeah. We've heard about that, right?
Well, you know, I don't know if those are valid or not, but they have really mixed genetics of everything you can imagine, animals with insects, insects with humans, you name it. And in fact, a lot of the plants that we consume are chimera because some of the corn, some of the other vegetables have human genetics in it and insect genetics in them.
Okay, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm sorry, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Okay, go ahead.
And there's a million questions I could ask, but if I can only ask one, it would be, is the general population that lives underground, are they as unaware of us as we are of them, or do they all know about us?
Okay, all of population that is underground, and I am assuming that you're talking about the inner earth, not just underground bases.
Right, exactly. Sorry.
Yeah, they are aware of what's on the surface, absolutely, because they know that they live inside of the planet, and they know there is an outside of the planet. And this is part of their culture anyway.
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, simple enough, and thank you very much as well. Let's go to our wild card line. Wild card 3, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead, please. Well, he's gone. Let's go to our wild card 2, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi, yeah, I'm here. This is Marie in New York City.
Okay.
Thank you for a great program. I wanted to ask two questions. First, there's supposed to be a big government mind control program in the mountains underneath Virginia Tech, and it's the Black Something Mountains. I can't think of the right name, but the mountains underneath Virginia Tech is supposed to be a big government center that does mind control, and that would explain the whole thing that happened there. And also, the Pleiadians, are they from this Lyrian system that you talked about?
What was that name again, please?
The Pleiadians Pleiadian star system.
Oh, I'll go to the first question. Yes, you're absolutely correct. That area of Virginia is an NSA and CIA training ground, and Virginia Tech is a known recruitment center for that those organizations. And that entire incident was an example of vigilante programming activation.
Yep.
And for your second question, Pleiadians, you know, that is a very big topic. And sometimes when I talk about it, it upsets people who are involved in the New Age. But a lot of the information out there about Pleiadians is not exactly correct. It's government-sponsored information as a diversion. Yes, there are Pleiadian beings. However, they are not natural to that star system. The Pleiadian star system is actually younger than our own solar system, and no life evolved there naturally. They are basically Lyrian refugees, and I think that might have been what you were asking.
Yeah, if they were associated with the Lyrian system in some way.
Yes, that is correct. They are, absolutely.
Is that Lyrian system, is that a galaxy, or is that just a solar system within our galaxy?
Oh, yeah, it's a solar system within our galaxy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Thank you so much for the deprogramming mission you're on, because people
need
a giant wake-up call.
Thank you.
Well, wake-up call indeed, Stuart, it is. And what kind of emails do you get after a program like this from people? Of course,
well,
this may be a first for you.
I get hundreds per day anyway, but of course, after I do a radio show or a TV show, I get a lot of emails from people who have had experiences and are looking for help and never knew that there was a place they could go to get it. Because, you know, you can't just go in the phone book and look up for a deprogrammer. That's something that, again, is technically not allowed in this country, because in order to allow deprogramming, they have to admit that programming exists.
Good point. First time caller line. Take it away. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have a question about, earlier you had mentioned the Atlanteans.
Yes.
and how they had created chimeras. And for example, you had mentioned the dolphin hybrids.
Yes.
The connection with autistics. And I was wondering if you had any illumination on the subject of werewolves in that vein.
Yes, and in fact, there actually are documented cases about werewolves, especially in Western Europe. These are leftover Atlantean experiments as well, where they mixed human genetics with wolf genetics to create these hybrids who can shapeshift between. There are many famous cases of this in France and especially in Great Britain, some of them as recently as the 1960s and 70s. So yes, these things do exist, and a lot of genetics in humanity that would be considered animalistic are throwbacks to those hybrid experiments in Atlantis.
Well, I'd love to get one of these 50-50 reptilians and do some testing on them, Stuart, huh?
Well, that would be interesting.
I wonder if they would stand for it.
Probably not.
No, I would agree. So they hear you on a program like this. Do they want to get to you?
Oh, they always try to get to me one way or another. You know, my life isn't easy or simple. And so we're always being attacked one way or another, whether it's, some kind of name-calling or accusations. And, you know, if you Google my name, I'm on about 12,000 different websites, and not all of them are friendly to me.
Well, hey, that happens. I'm sometimes in the same boat. Stuart, thank you so much for a phenomenal program. You are considered a regular guest on Coast to Coast AM. Okay. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Mr. Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we shall see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.